as we went through the Bible last week, from through the Old Testament into the New Testament, we looked at various types of circumstances and various approaches to prayer, which brought it down to our level. It's like, you know what? This isn't so difficult. Maybe we can all do this. We can all, you know, if we're upset and angry and frustrated and whatever, there are prayers where people just railed. I mean, they just vented their frustrations with not holding anything back, just getting it out there. I mean, how many of us are good enough that we could do that? You know, you want it, you feel like venting? Well, we can just do that. It doesn't have to be religious sounding and Sunday morning language. We can just get it out there. And so as we went through, I think the various samples of prayers that we looked at last week encourage us that it's an everyday kind of experience, and whatever needs to be prayed for, we can get it out there. We can pray, we can intervene, and we can ask, acknowledging, you remember Solomon's prayer as he dedicated the temple? You'd think that would be a holy exercise with great flowing language, King James only, please, and the whole thing. And what does he do? No, he includes, Lord, when we mess up in this area, please listen to our prayer, heal us, and restore us. And oh yeah, when we're rebellious here, don't forget to bless us and bring us back and restore us and listen to us. And oh yeah, when we sin, not if, but when we sin and we pray to you, please, Lord, be merciful and, you know, come full circle and restore us back to you. And this is in his lofty prayer of dedication of the temple. So on and on, we've just seen examples of this kind of thing where it's everyday, ordinary people doing everyday, ordinary things, praying everyday, ordinary prayers, letting it out. So today in the notes, this is the second part. We said we're going to look at the Vineyard prayer model. So I'm just saying, all too often, prayer is seen as the domain of the spiritual elite, whoever they are. I'm not really sure who we mean by those people, or that of pastors and other church-paid individuals. It's understood to be beyond the reach of the average Christian. I put that in brackets because that kind of makes me shiver just a little bit saying that. And so attempts are either feeble or short-lived and usually end in some sense of failure or frustration for the would-be prayer warrior. How many of us have really taken on this thing and have heard a message about prayer warriors and all of this kind of stuff, and we got so pumped up and we were going to go try it and we were going to do these things, and it only lasted a few days or a week, and it's just like, this is tougher than I thought. I really am not up to this. I can't do this. And so I want us to move beyond that. It's humorous that we have managed to so enshrine so humble an activity, except, of course, for the tragic consequences of alienating ourselves from the very source of God's help and direction in the everyday humdrum of our lives. If this happens, we really do feel like it's for somebody else and we'll never manage. If that happens at the personal level, the fallout intensifies when it comes time to pray for someone else. I mean, you know, if we feel like, wow, I can't really manage to do prayer for myself, I don't know what I would do. I'll get exposed if I pray for somebody else. It'll be obvious I don't know what I'm doing. And so when there's time for ministry, which we have to do as a family, and we pray for encouragement, et cetera, you know, we just kind of sit back and, you know, when it comes prayer time, you know, just in case the pastor decides to do something radical, like point to someone and say, you come pray, you know, that's when everybody collectively lowers their head and they get very serious as they look down. You know, it's like, you in the blue shirt, here. So anyway, so that's kind of how we feel. But the Vineyard movement has helped by developing a 5-step prayer model for ministry prayer, which is basically prayer for others. And so that's what I wanted to look at this morning. It's a model. It's not a legalistic 5-step, thou shalt or, you know, be condemned. It's not that. But it helps us to understand, what do we do? People need prayer. How many of us need prayer? Any of us need prayer every once in a while? You know, see, it's a universal thing. We all need prayer. And some days we're in, you know, it's both hands up kind of need. And we, you know, yelling and jumping and screaming just in case we get missed kind of need. But people coming in, maybe for the first time or whatever, they're not really sure what this whole thing is about. You know they need prayer. They have prayer. They have lots of needs. I came up with an acronym, and it's not total, but for PRAY, P-R-A-Y. And the way I look at it is present, request, and yield. Pray. Present, request, and yield. Part of our problem is we do pray sometimes, but we really don't think about yielding to what it is the Lord provides for us. So it's like, okay, we did it, and of course nothing's really different, so let's just go ahead and do what we were going to do anyway. But the Lord really intends for us to present our request and then yield to his direction. Yield to whatever it is he has to give us. And some of us have a real hard time receiving the best from the Lord. We can believe he has it for someone else, but when it comes to us, like, well, I'm not sure, who am I, and all of that. And so Sue was sharing with me a little bit of the things that were the ladies' retreat. Not all the details, lady, but some of them, and some of the things that she was talking about in her workshop on prayer. And I just thought it was interesting that there were very similar things that the Lord had led her to talk about that, you know, I think of as prayer as I was thinking this morning. And I think of prayer as a holy, H-O-L-Y, humble activity. It's a holy and humble activity. Because when we pray, when we present a request, we're presenting our request to God. That means I can't do it. I mean, I'm in a position of, because we all know if we could have done it, we would have done it ourselves, right? I mean, that's just how we are as people. And we think of praying when all our best efforts end up with, you know, like egg on our face or worse. So we come and it's a holy and humble activity. It's not exalted. It isn't only for those who know how to pray beautiful, flowery, long prayers. It isn't that. It's a very ordinary, everyday type of prayer fitting the circumstance. Now, they can be flowery, I guess, but I mean, most of us can't really manage that, and most of us don't have a time to write three drafts and a final copy. You know, the need is too pressing to get that nice about it. It is nice to read published prayers sometimes, and, you know, I think there's something okay about the prayer book and stuff that churches use, but there's something also down and dirty about just getting it out there when the need is present, and that's what we want to do. So it's holy, but it's humble. It's everyday. It's earthen vessel. It's clay pot activity. But it is also a holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, a holy and humbling activity. Not just holy, H-O-L-Y, and humble, but holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, and humbling. Because we come and we just say, Lord, I can't. It's yours. You do it for me. So holy and humble, holy and humbling activity. That's what it is. That's what we've been called to. That's what Jesus modeled for his disciples. You know, what a great way. That's what Jesus did. That's what he constantly did. The disciples were forever looking for Jesus. And where was he when they most needed him? He was off praying somewhere. I mean, after a while, when Jesus was absent, it's like, okay, go to the most secluded place from here that you can find, and Jesus is probably there, and he's probably praying. And they interrupted him on more than one occasion. They wanted to know, like, what do we do now? What's this? What is this? How do we do it? And finally, in Luke 11, they even said, Lord, would you teach us how to do this? I mean, you seem so intent on doing this over and over, and you're God. I mean, you're the Son of God. You know, I mean, you'd almost think you don't need to do this, but we really need to know how to do this. And so he taught them how to pray in just a very general prayer there that we refer to as the Lord's Prayer, but it was really his prayer. He was teaching the disciples, so it's more like the disciples' prayer, not so much his, just that he gave them a model. So I want us to look at the model of this kind of ministry prayer that we're talking about. So when there's an opportunity, that we'll model it here this morning. We'll look for a volunteer and see if somebody's willing to come and just be a part of a clinic thing here for a few minutes. The first step in this model is interview the petitioner. Interview. Ask, what do you want me to pray for? You know, there's nothing so disconcerting to come for prayer and the person that is praying for you prays all over the world except for the thing you came for. You know, it's really nice when I come up for prayer for a specific thing, I would really like the person who's praying for me to address my issue. Please pray for what I asked for. And so We just interview. There's nothing wrong with saying, how can I pray with you? What specific thing would you like me to pray for? And so it's a very simple process. Sometimes if it's just amongst ourselves and we know each other, well, we might already know what the issue is. But we might have opportunities to pray for someone that we've never seen before. And so just asking questions. How can I pray with you? What is your need today? How can I best agree with you on this thing that the Lord is asking for? And we come, and because we recognize it is a holy and humbling experience to do, an activity, we don't try to come at it with, I've got to come up with this. You know, when it was time for healing prayer, I used to feel so undone. I was just like, I can't pray for healing prayer. I mean, you know, John Wimber would go through this, you know. Often he would be sick, and he would have to do these sessions where they would call people forward for prayer, and he would pray for people, and we'd feel like such a hypocrite. I'm sick, and I'm praying for these people to be healed. And the Lord just showed him, you know, it isn't about you, John. Just get out of the way and do what I'm asking. Bless these people. Pray for them. So it isn't about us. It's about communicating God's heart and God's blessing to the person who's coming for prayer. Because, and this is an awkward thing for us to do, and something's a little not too natural, I guess, but one of the things that is encouraging to do is, as you're praying for someone, keep your eyes open. Keeping your eyes open helps the prayer to remain more earthbound, for one. But it also helps us to see if the Holy Spirit is doing something. You know, sometimes there's a manifestation. There doesn't have to be, but, you know, sometimes there can be weeping or shaking or, you know, various things that you could see that the Lord is doing, and that will help you to know how to pray as you watch that. And so that's just an encouraging thing. And I do it about 50% of the time, and the rest of it I just go back to my old-fashioned ways and close my eyes and pray as if I'm the only one in the room. But it really is, it's very encouraging as you're praying for someone to realize that the Holy Spirit is speaking to their heart, and it's obvious. You know, the Holy Spirit shows up and begins to minister whatever it is that we're asking for. I mean, it's a powerful experience sometimes, and it's sometimes something you can actually see physically. So that's really good. The one thing about asking the question, how can I pray for you? What is it I can pray for? Here's one thing we really need to learn. Listen carefully. Listen. Listen carefully. Don't assume that we already know how to pray and already have half of our prayer put together before they're finished speaking, but let's listen to what they're really saying. Because we want to make sure that what we're praying for is what they're asking us to pray for. And not read into it on our own. And there may be other issues that need prayer or whatever. But let's stay focused and let's pray for what's being asked prayer for. So that's the interview process. Just find out what they're asking. Listen. Be careful to really hear what they're saying. The second one is the diagnosis. This sounds very medical, but the diagnosis, identify and clarify the root of the request. So when they present their request, this is what I'd like you to pray for, and then you're trying to figure out exactly, you know, sometimes the request, because we come and we're confused, we're upset, we're distraught, and it's a really huge thing, and it's like, okay, so how are we going to do this? And so you may need to clarify, just ask questions. Do you mean that maybe that this, you know, it's this that you're asking for? There's fear in this situation, or there's anger to be dealt with, or there's, you know, whatever it is. Just clarify and say, "What you mean this?" Or would that mean I would be praying for this? And as you help clarify for yourself, you're also helping clarify for them. Oh, that's right. That's how I can do this. And so we interview, we ask them what they want to pray for, we clarify, so we know what we're doing. I mean, we know the direction we're going to go and what specifically it is that we're going to pray for from the sometimes very vague request. And then the third thing is prayer selection. Well, prayer selection is what kind of prayer, what type of prayer. So it might be a prayer for salvation. A person might come and say, you know, I've heard about this Jesus, and I, you know, the worship was so powerful this morning, and I was in tears, and I don't know why, and something's going on, but I don't know really what it is. And, you know, they might sound very confused like that, and that might be where you would ask questions like, well, have you ever accepted him as your Savior? Have you ever, you know, prayed to receive him and all of that? I mean, that's when you'll find out, oh, no, so that's a prayer of salvation. Or it might be one, there's an illness, or there's pain or whatever, and so it might be a prayer for healing that you're doing, or prayer for deliverance, which we'll talk more about at another time, but that's almost a separate category there. Or they might be asking for wisdom or direction. You know, in these days, finances are a problem, and so people might just be really in a financial crunch, and they're wondering how they're going to make ends meet at the end of the month, or they need a job, or whatever they're looking for that way, or, you know, need to sell their home, you know, that kind of thing. So find out what kind of prayer is it you're actually going to be praying. And once you've heard what they've said, you've determined what the specific issue is, then you determine, how am I going to pray? And not go all over the map. You know, for those of us who are verbal, our problem is we have a tendency to really start at A and go all the way through to Z. And meanwhile, the poor person who's come for prayer is just kind of like lost out there somewhere. It's like, they're really having a good time in prayer. We used to always laugh. I've told you this before. Dr. Britton in Canada used to love to do hospital visits. But unfortunately, the people he would visit really had a hard time because, God bless him, he loved to pray, and he was a prayer warrior. And so the person in bed would be there, and he says, let me pray with you. And no kidding, they would be there for 45 minutes while Dr. Britton continued praying and praying, and the patient would often nod off, and often the snoring would interrupt Dr. Britton, and he would shake them awake again so he could continue praying. So, you know, we want to be specific, and, you know, shortened to the point is always nice, too. We don't have to convince God to bless someone. You know, we don't have to convince God that it's a good idea to heal or bring a job or whatever. We, you know, he agrees with us. He wants to bless us. He's the Father, the one from whom come all the best gifts. So he's the Father of lights, and he desires to give good gifts to, that's hard to say, to his children. And so we're not, you know, it's not like we're begging. You know, it's like, oh God, please, I know they don't deserve it, but, you know, would you anyway? Could you find it? You know, as if he's miserly with this stuff. You know, he loves to do this. And so it's just a matter of agreeing with him and letting him do what he desires to do. We're just the conduit. We're just, you know, we're the intermediary kind of between God and the prayer petitioner, the one who's asking for prayer. And that's a great place to be. And so we select the prayer. Then number four, prayer engagement. You know, it is really important after all these steps to actually do it. You know, it's good to pray. And so prayer engagement, this is the prayer and possibly further interviewing. We want to begin praying all the time, watching. Again, if it's one of, you know, someone that we know well, you know, what, for us, for Vineyard folk, it's really hard to pray without, you know, putting our hand on somebody's shoulder or holding their hand or something like that. But if it isn't someone that you know well or you don't know at all, they just happen to be here for the very first time or whatever, and it's time to pray, you know, it's always appropriate to say, may I, or would you mind if I put my hand on your shoulder or whatever. And sometimes you'll just know without asking, you know what, that's really not a good idea at this point, so just pray. But for the most part, once amongst ourselves, we know each other well enough that that's basically what we would do. But it's always a good idea. Not everybody wants your hand on their shoulder. Not everybody wants you holding their hand. And so it gets uncomfortable for them sometimes. So just ask. And if they say no, it's no big deal. You know, it's like, well, that's fine. So we want to respect that dignity and asking for their permission. We engage prayer, not immediately necessarily. We've interviewed, we found out what the thing is, we've diagnosed it, we found out what the root issue is, we have we've selected the type of prayer, and now we're engaging in prayer. And this prayer, this present, request, and yield, We know what the request is. Now we just bring it to the Father. And you know what? We might wait for 30 seconds or more. We just wait because we want to hear what God is saying. We don't want to just deliver what we've got. The whole purpose of this is to bring this person to the Father, before the throne, as we say. Just present their request to Him. And so we just wait. We can just wait and we just listen. Because it's important to listen to God, too, not just the person who's asking for prayer. So we just listen. We're not in a hurry. You know, it might take a while. And so after a while, since we kind of know the direction anyway, we just wait for what God is saying. And then the greatest thing is we never have to get theatrical in prayer. We don't have to dig out our King James or Latin or any other language. You know, we can just pray the normal language we have on an everyday basis, and we can just communicate straight to that person. As we're praying, you know, sometimes you'll see people tense up. You know, they're just like, it's obvious they're not happy, or they're uncomfortable, or whatever, or they're really showing signs of distress in one way or another. You know, it is totally fine. God understands this. We can just stop and ask a question. What are you feeling right now? You know, is this making you uncomfortable? You know, is there something wrong that's going on here? Just ask them the question. You know, it's totally fine. It's, you know, sometimes again we think this of prayer as this exalted thing that we better not break the mood, but you know, sometimes that is more about us than it is about God. He just desires to communicate. And if we're just praying away, you know, we don't want to do the Dr. Brenton. God bless him. He's with Jesus now. But, you know, we don't want to just pray and pray and pray and pray, even though the person has long since left, you know. I mean, one of the reasons I think we want to put our hand on them is if we close our eyes, they might just walk away. So, you know, at least we got them captive while we're praying. But, you know, I mean, the goal is, let's communicate the Father's heart to this person who's asked for prayer. It's really important. And so if they're not comfortable, or, you know, it's really obvious that they just want, and I've had people do that, just like, you know, I really don't want anyone to pray with, I guess I don't really want anyone to pray with me. Is that okay? I mean, can we say, you know, okay, that's fine? Or are we going to get all offended because they wouldn't receive our prayer? You know, so I think obviously it's fine for that person, and we don't need to shame them or make them feel like, what a loser, you know, you don't even get prayer, you know, it's like, that's not the whole thing. Present your request and yield. We just allow the Holy Spirit to work with us. And as we listen, because the Father is so delighted that someone has come and asked for prayer, their coming and asking for prayer is an admission that they need God's intervention. He's already thrilled before anything gets said, and, you know, and God is sometimes not very nice. He might actually answer before we get a chance to give our prayer, you know, which is really unkind. You'd think at least he'd wait so it looks like we did it, right? But anyway, I'm just kidding. But so anyway, the person comes in and God's heart is already engaged. He's already there. He's listening. He knows the heart. He doesn't have to interview them. He knows it all. So they share with us and we're getting ready to pray, and we ask for the Holy Spirit's guidance. And we say that out loud. Holy Spirit, show me how to pray. We want to bless this person. We want to bless this person with what you've got for them, not what we've got. And so we just ask him out loud. Let the person hear that, you know what? I don't know what I'm doing. This is beyond me. But it's not beyond God, and I have confidence in him. So I just come in Jesus' name, and we begin to receive from him. And you know the thing that God delights to do? Communicate his heart. He will give us stuff. He will, all these verses we've just memorized over the 40 days leading up to Easter, verses we have never memorized. Has anyone had that experience where a verse has come to you in prayer that you have never memorized and you were like, where did that come from? Anyone? I have had that. I mean, that was one of the most amazing things to me. It's like, I don't even know this. And it was just a reference. It was a scripture reference. And when I opened up to it, it was like, that's exactly the thing we had just been praying for. And it happens, this, and part of that, there's a whole story there, but it is really my life psalm right now, and that is Psalm 91. And so this psalm of protection that I often sign after my name, because that is such a powerful psalm to me, for his protection and his guidance and the safety of the believer. And so, but God gave me that psalm as I was praying for someone, and I, to my remembrance, I had never read that before. So it really hit me. It's like, oh, that was so appropriate. So that had to be God. So we engage in prayer by asking, by watching, and if we're uncomfortable or don't know what we're doing or feels like that's not really working, or we can see signs that the petitioner is really not very comfortable with it, then we just stop and we just ask. And, you know, or is that enough? You know, are you done? Have you, you know, has it met your quota? You can't take any more. You know, those kind of things, let's just be real, because we just really want to communicate God's heart to the person asking for prayer. That's really what we're doing. And the Holy Spirit will let us know by himself, you know, when it's time. You know, we don't need to go over and over and over again. Sometimes we get excited and we want to just pray the same thing. And so we repeat these phrases over and over again by hoping that at least one of them will stick. And we don't really need to do that unless we feel like that is important. But again, always watching the person is just so much easier. Then we have an idea whether we're on track or not. And if they're nodding their head or they're just weeping quietly, or, you know, just there are many ways of showing that, you know, it's like, yeah, this is right. This is, God is doing his work in there. And the fifth thing, the last part, is post-prayer directions. Just only when needed to clarify next steps for the petitioner, the one who's asked for prayer. If it's obvious, if this is a prayer, for example, for salvation, and they've never prayed to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior before, they may need to know, now what do I do? I mean, it's like, okay, that was great, but what do I do now? And somebody was just mentioning John Wimber's testimony. He had grown up in a household where there was absolutely no mention of God or the Bible or anything, no church background at all. And finally, a friend talked to him was just showing this great signs of peace and joy and happiness. And John finally said, "What are you on? I mean, what do you have?" You know? And the guy says, "You know, I love the Lord, and, you know, and I've just been reading the Bible." And literally, John said, "The Bible? What is that?" And he goes, "Well, it's God's word." He goes, "Well, how do I get a hold of one of those things?" And the guy tells him there's this thing called Christian bookstores that he had never heard of before. And so he races down to the bookstore, and it's not open. So he stands in line till the store finally opens. He races in, gets the clerk, and says, "I want to buy a Bible." At which point she says, "Which one?" And John's just, I can imagine him just kind of like deer in the headlights. "What do you mean, which one? How many Bibles are there?" And then she takes him over, of course, to this unending Bible selection, you know, colors and versions and all the rest of it that we have available to us. I'm even confused when I go in sometimes now. And so he finally got himself a Bible, but it was just so confusing to him when he first looked at it, and, you know, so just to read it. And so people might need instruction on, what do I do now? What's the next step? How do I continue this? How do I build this? And maybe they don't even know that there's anything to be built on. And so we can explain to them, you know, it's like, boy, there's, you know, there's this. And if we think it's time and they've got some background, we might be able to talk about, you know, well, there's, you know, there's some opposition that you can expect, but here's how you deal with that. And, you know, and I'd be happy to follow you up with you, or, you know, I'll get you in contact with someone who could follow up with you, especially if it's, you know, someone of the opposite gender. You might want to match them up with, you know, if it's a guy, match them up with a guy, or a lady with another lady, just to walk through some of the issues together. So those kind of things. They don't always need post-prayer direction. I mean, sometimes it's a very simple thing, and we've prayed, and that takes care of it. But just if they've got questions, or if they want more understanding or more biblical counsel, obviously, everywhere you look in God's Word, from Genesis through Revelation, there are mentions of prayer, there are people going to prayer, there are responses to prayer, different styles of prayer that we looked at last week, and it's just, it's full. And then we also can talk from, as we talk with them afterwards, we can also, as they ask questions, you know, we can speak from our own experience of what it's been like, what God has done and how he's intervened. Those are also great things. So the five very standard things that we would do as a prayer model: interview the one who's come for prayer, diagnose. I mean, what is the root? Not just the, you know, praying for the world, you know, but specifically what is the issue that we can pray for in a few minutes. And then find out what kind of prayer is needed. What is it they're specifically asking for? What type of prayer? Salvation, healing, deliverance, wisdom, direction, etc. And then the actual praying itself, trying to keep our eyes open enough to keep aware of what is happening. And then just follow up with any other directions that we think are necessary. And it's, you know, and as we do it until we're comfortable with it, you know, we can keep our list with us. It's like, okay, what do I do now? Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Let me, you know, it's fine, because this exercise is not to convince somebody of how holy we are, like the guru on the mountain. No, we're just the humble go-betweens that are willing to present their request to the Father. And so that's all we are, and it's just a lot of fun sometimes to see how God uses us as we would pray for other people. So that's the five things that we want to somewhat follow as we pray for other people. So now, let's just take a few minutes and let's do a clinic. Do we have a volunteer who would be the petitioner that would come? David, so we can pray for you this morning? Okay, so if you would come up here. Now, do we have somebody who's willing to follow the five steps that we just went through and find out from David? Who's going to be the prayer person? We can just follow the steps. It's right here. I'll even guide you, and we'll help each other. If they forgot a step, we can help. Well, I think you're stuck with me for this time. But right. We'll buttonhole somebody else next time. Okay, my first step. So what would you like me to pray for?
My health.
Health, okay.
Yeah.
And so anything specific or just a general prayer for health? Or are you?
My toe.
Your toe. Okay. By that, I mean this is a serious prayer request. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Right. Absolutely.
Okay. So this is something you've been dealing with for a while?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Okay. So then, specific prayer, healing for a toe. You know, what type of prayer is needed now? Healing. We're praying for healing. You know, we're not praying for the underprivileged on the other side of the world. Not that that's not a good thing, but that's not what we're going to do right now, because David is the petitioner. He's asked me to pray for his toe, and right now that's not the goal. Okay, so I'm going to do that, and so I can begin praying, and I can ask, you know, we're going to wait for the Holy Spirit to come, because I'm not sure what the problem is, but I don't need to know specifically what the problem is. God knows what that is. I'm just joining David's faith in asking for prayer for healing and letting the Holy Spirit come and do the healing part. He does the healing. I'm just standing here. So that's what we're going to do. So let's pray. Let me pray for David then. And Spirit, I just pray that you would come and with that healing anointing, and you would wash over David's body this morning. That this toe that is hurting, whatever has affected it or infected it, that you would come and your healing virtue would flow over him. And that from the very top of his head to his toes, that you would bring healing in there. That you would, in that process, that you would wash the pain away. That you would restore order and blood circulation. Feeling anything at this point?
Ah, just feels really good.
Okay. All right. often when we pray for healing, we want to pray with oil. So is it all right if I anoint you too with oil?
Sure.
So Father, your word says to come and anoint the sick with oil. And so I do that this morning in Jesus' name, and we ask that that would be the sign of his yielding to you, asking for this prayer, and fully receiving everything that you have for him in this. Thank you for your restoring, Father, of this toe. Would you remove the pain, Father? Would you wash away whatever has been impacting that? Bless you now for the work of your Spirit as you bring that healing virtue into David's body. Thank you, Father. Father, you are good. You are good. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So any change in that toe while we were praying? Or?
Yeah, it's actually a spread out. It was just all pressure was on one point, and it's all spread out now. It's pretty awesome.
Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, David. Okay. Do we have one more? We have one more. I was going to say victim. I don't mean victim. I mean one more petitioner, someone that is willing for us to pray with them. Anyone? Okay. Angela. All right. So here comes a lady. And ladies, you've been at a retreat. We'll help you. We'll walk you through the steps. I know there's got to be a lady who is just absolutely ready to go crazy to pray for Angela. Don't make me call names. Who's wearing that blue shirt? Okay, ladies, we can do this. We'll help you. This isn't a test. We're really going to pray with Angela. Thank you. The brave one, Alicia. Yes. Well, we'll start with Frank. We'll pray for Angela first, and then we'll.
You keep going.
Okay. All right, absolutely. So do we all. This is great. Okay. So first step, we just want to know.
All right, Angela, what is it that you would need prayer for today?
Healing of allergies.
Healing of allergies in this allergy season. Has it been going on for a long time, or is it worse this year?
It's been going on for a long time, but where we are in this season of allergies is really more than, you know, there.
Can I empathize? Because mine got worse when I moved to Virginia. So did it get worse when you moved
here? Oh, yes, I never had it until I moved here.
Okay.
It's a Virginian gift. Good, good, good.
We won't thank God for that part.
Okay, so now you diagnosed it. Now we're at the prayer selection. What type?
Well, okay, it's a healing prayer.
It's a healing prayer again. All right. And so just asking for direction, waiting, and see what the Holy Spirit leads you to pray.
Do you want to be touched? Sure how to pray, but Angela is a wonderful person in this church and so wonderful to everybody. And I would like to be part of coming to you on her behalf as she struggles this year with allergies in this area where so many people struggle. And just be with her as she tries to do so much for so many people. And it's inconvenienced with the allergies and all that comes with that and the discomfort with the allergies. And I know it impedes on things that she's trying to do and wants to do. So just be with her during this allergy season until the cold weather takes that problem away.
Thank you very much. And we're going to continue this, but thank you for being brave enough to volunteer for those. Great. Okay. So it's very simple. It brings it down from this unbelievably lofty, elevated, elite position to we can all do this. And if we have to have our little cheat sheet with us, one of the games we had to play with my mother often, she loved this game called Phase 10. Well, there were 10 phases. She's played it enough that she never uses the cheat sheet. Sue and I always have to because we can never remember which one is which. And so, you know, it's fine to have that. God is not interrupted. He's not embarrassed. And he's not angry with us. It's like, surely you can get 5 steps down. And it's like, no. He is so desiring to bring relief to David, to Angela, and for the rest of us who have things that we can pray for. And it is that simple. And so we want to be doing that more and more. We always see, we come here to this last Sunday of the month, and it's communion service. So we want to come to the table, this table that Jesus made available to us, this table of remembrance, remembering the life he's given us and what it took to make this life available to us. And so we have the cup, which is the symbol of his spilled blood on Calvary, and the bread, the symbol of his broken body. And what we do here is we just tear off a piece of the bread and dip it in the cup and partake in that way. There are many ways of doing this. But what we want to remember this morning as we come to the Lord's table is this one who offered us life wants to make it available to us today. Not way down the road in the future, not just way out there, but he wants it today. He wants it available to us so that we have it. And when we're convinced that we've got it, we know that he has done this work in us. We have life in abundance, in more than abundance, to give to others. And that's what we want to be able to give away. And that's when we minister to people, we pray for people. It is so simple. I think anybody we ever ask, would you like me to, could I pray for you? Most people say yes, even if they're shocked. You know, they've never heard that. No one's ever said that to them before. Most people, when you ask them, they're more than able to have you pray with them. And so this is the life we want to give to others the way God gave it to us. And so as we come to the table this morning, that's what we celebrate, this new life in him that he has made available to us. So let's pray together as we come to the Lord's table and celebrate this, the wonderful life that he has given us. Father, we come this morning grateful that you said we should be like little children, that we don't need to be sophisticated, we don't need to be learned, we don't need to have fancy vocabulary. We can just be yours. You invite us to come as your children. And you said, unless we come as little children, we can't come. So we ask, Father, that you would help us to remove all the trappings we've put around life, making it complicated, and especially around all that we've made complicated in prayer, and just be able to receive from you the best you have for us. So thanks for this morning. Thank you for this reminder again as we move into this new season that you have equipped us to do far more than we ever thought would be possible. And we bless you for this day. We thank you for life that is in you. We celebrate the newness of life that you've made available to us. And we bless you now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. to take a few minutes to continue praying with one another, using as much of the prayer model as we're comfortable with at this point. But we definitely want to provide opportunity to be praying together on Sunday morning. Did hear this morning that Margaret Davies isn't here this morning. She fell downstairs. I'm not sure, home or at work, but anyway, she's hurt her foot and she's on some pain medication, and so she's not able to be here this morning. So she would definitely appreciate our prayer for her as she recovers from that and all of that. So, but you know, we're here this morning always, and we talk of this love and this grace and this mercy. And as always, I think if anyone is here who's never understood that for themselves personally, we would love to have an opportunity of accompanying you on that journey of accepting Jesus as your Lord and watching him give new life and replacing new life for the death that was there. So we would love to do that. Other prayers for healing, the finances and some of that stuff, other fear objects and stuff, you know, we would love to be able to pray together on those things. So if you would come up to the front, we'll make room. And we'll just take a few minutes here. Let's just spend some time praying. If you're not up front receiving or giving prayer, I just invite you to just intercede for a bit. Let's just take these few moments to pray with one another and encourage one another. And don't hesitate when you see someone coming up to come up and, you know, give these five steps a shot. So let's just come up front here and let's do some prayer ministry.